It is being hailed as a Brexit talks breakthrough, but is it really? That's what we're asking this morning. In other words, how much has really changed since Monday when the DUP rejected the first text proposed by the European Union and the UK to move talks from phase one to phase two? The DUP leader, Arlene Foster, says the new agreement means that the entirety of the UK will now leave the single market and customs union.
There is no red line down the Irish Sea, and we have the very clear confirmation that the entirety of the United Kingdom is leaving the European Union, leaving the single market, leaving the customs union. And I think that's a very important statement to have. And it's also vitally important, of course, that the integrity of the United Kingdom was kept in place. But there are still matters there that we would have liked to see clarified.
So the DUP... certainly more happy now than they were. But how does this sit with the reality that the Irish government, Leo Varadkar, the Taoiseach, he's saying they've got what they wanted?
We have achieved all that we set out to achieve in phase one of these negotiations. We have the assurances and guarantees we need from the United Kingdom and support for them from the European Union. I'm satisfied that sufficient progress has now been made on the Irish issues. The parameters have been set and they are good. Now we can move on to work out the detail of what has been agreed to talk about the transition phase, free trade and the new relationship between the EU and the UK.
Did you hear what I just heard? Now it's time to work out the detail of what has been agreed. So have they not worked out that detail? And if they haven't worked out the detail, then what has been agreed? I guess I'm suggesting this morning that we all prick our ears up, highly pricked, when all of these people are saying they've all got what they wanted. How does that work? Let's speak to Mark Devenport this morning, who can set this out for us much more eloquently than I can. So, Mark, is this a major breakthrough with everything sorted?
Well, that's a big challenge to be more eloquent than you, Stephen. I think it is fair to use the word breakthrough about it because obviously it would have been a breakdown with international implications if these negotiations had not moved on to phase two, which is the thing that Theresa May so badly wants to achieve, because that would will set out that phase, what kind of trade relationship the UK might have with the European Union in the future. So to the extent that the opposite would have been a real problem, I think Theresa May will be a much more relieved woman this morning in relation to that.
Yeah, I get that, Mark. I get that the breakthrough is that they've all agreed to move on. But what's the breakthrough in terms of the detail? What was the major negotiation? For example, realignment. Is it totally gone?
No, it hasn't gone. And I think what we've had is a lot of words that talk around all the difficulties in relation to this. But we don't yet have the proof of the pudding as to whether in practice they will be able to sort out all the different sort of clashing concerns that are potentially there. What you have got in this document is you've got two key paragraphs that will probably go down in history. Paragraphs 49 and paragraph 50. The first one is essentially the kind of changes which the Irish government got in that draft agreement, which is to meet their concerns that even though, you know, the UK was saying we don't want a hard border, that in practice trade differences would be such that they would have to start putting up barriers and that you would get checks of various kinds put in place. So in that paragraph, that's the one where the UK repeats its guarantee of no hard border, says that it hopes that these talks that are going to go on about trade will be successful and that we'll end up with some sort of a deal where there's so much cooperation between the UK and the EU that all these concerns go away. But there are a couple of sentences then that talk about failing that. Failing that, the UK will come up with specific solutions to address the unique circumstances here. And then in the absence that they get any agreement, the UK, and this is where we get into what did concern the DUP originally, will maintain full alignment with those rules of the internal market and the customs union, which now or in the future support North-South cooperation, the oil island economy and the protection of the 1998 Good Friday Agreement.
So in other words, Mark, that's still there as a possibility?
That is still there as, if you like, the fallback. And fallbacks are very important because then people, when they're negotiating, they're not negotiating completely in a vacuum. They're looking at, right, if we don't get a deal, what do things go to? So there's your default position.
And is that binding, Mark? Is that there no matter what?
Yes. I mean, it's a commitment from the UK. In the absence of agreed solutions, we'll maintain this full alignment. However, and there's the big however, that we now have paragraph 50, which, so far as we know, was not in that text that was agreed on Monday. Of course, we haven't seen the full version of that text because it was never published. But here's the kind of guarantee to the DUP, where they say that in that fallback position, in that position where there's been no agreement, the UK will also ensure no new regulatory barriers develop between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK, unless effectively a future executive and assembly agree to these distinct arrangements as being appropriate, and that in all circumstances, the UK will continue to ensure the same unfettered access for Northern Ireland's businesses to the whole of the UK internal market. So I think that's where the DUP would point to having got some guarantees. And that is an achievement. But how does this work out in practice? And are all these things really consistent with each other? Who's to know?
As I read this morning, keep me right here, is this a possibility? So with what we have in front of us here, and in particular when I look at paragraph 49, in the absence of agreed solutions, the United Kingdom will maintain full alignment with those rules of the internal market and the customs union. So let's say that it's at least possible that there is an absence of agreed solutions.
Mm-hmm.
How are the Brexiteers getting Brexit?
Well,
if now the whole of the UK in this circumstance is tied in to full alignment with the customs union?
Yes, that could be a big problem for the Conservative Brexiteers, essentially saying, look, you know, this is a much softer Brexit than we imagined, because a lot of the arguments around the time of the referendum were that, you know, we're tied up in EU red tape and bureaucracy, we want to be able to run our own affairs. And so the notion of being fully aligned and then, you know, with the EU in perpetuity is not what they had as a vision. But I think there'll be a couple of arguments. One will be about what is alignment. I think there's some government sources already out this morning saying it doesn't mean being exactly the same. It means trying to achieve the same ends, maybe through different means. So there'll be a bit of an argument there. And the other one is that it talks about this alignment in relation to the rules which now or in the future support North-South cooperation, the all-island economy and the protection of the agreement. So there might be an argument about, you know, does that cover every trade rule or is it just some trade rules? And I can see that argument playing out. Sure. Although I would have to say that if people are trying to narrow it down, and I can see from a unionist or Brexiteer perspective that they might do, that they should go back to some earlier paragraphs which talks about the UK being committed to cooperation across a full range of political, economic, security, societal and agricultural contexts. Yeah. So that's quite wide.